T-shirts here that they want me to give away. One of them is insert awesome here. The other is insert genius here. Take whatever innuendo you want from those titles. They're down the front. If you want to come and collect them, that's fine. Just one at a time. There's been some people taking like 15 at a time. Now, there's only X large and XX large. Now, if anybody is interested in taking the Windows 7 exam, I have 3 Windows 7 rapid reviews to give away. If anybody's interested, you have to come down here and get it, though. And it's the first 3. I've only got 3. There's 1 gone. There's 2 gone. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. Send me an email and I'll try and work something out for you. Okay, welcome to Cluster Aware Updating and the new generation of WSUS. Now, the best way to start these things, of course, is with a demo. So let me flip across to my demo machine. Now, you can see here if we've got a Windows Server 2012 machine running Server Core. And on this machine, of course, you can run PowerShell. Run get Windows feature. And this will give you a list of features that are installed or installable on this particular computer. And what you can see from here, let me just highlight it, is that you can install WSUS now as a service, as a role, on a Server Core computer. So that's one of the first new things about WSUS. But rather than just talking about it, let's actually do that installation. Now, you've heard many things about the RSHAT tools. So let's use those to remotely install WSUS. So the first thing I need to do is add my little Server Core server here so that I can manage the thing. The easiest way I find of doing this is just doing a query of everything in Active Directory. Put that across there. It connects to it. Now, installing roles and features is easy. Add roles and features. Next. 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 Select the role. In this case, WSUS. It specifies what the extra features are that are necessary to run that role. Next. 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 Now here it's asking me, where do I want to download updates? I'm going to go see WSUS. Next, 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 install. And the nice thing about the way that Server Manager works in 2012 is you kick off an install and then you don't have to actually sit there and wait for the dialog box to continue through. So that's going to go through. It's going to install WSUS. It's not going to run that post-installation configuration wizard until I'm ready to do that. All you need to do is install the RSAT tools, and you can run that post-installation configuration. So I'll let that go on in the background, because there's nothing more exciting than watching a little grey bar go or a blue bar go across the screen. And I'll get back to the talk. Cool. Okay, so I just wanted to start with that. So what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to talk about automated update deployment. I'm going to give you an overview of WSUS and also talk about what's new in WSUS 4. I'm going to talk about how you can migrate from the previous version of WSUS to WSUS 4. I'm also going to talk about this new feature in Server 2012 called Cluster Aware Updating. I'll talk about cluster-aware update modes and plugins, and I'll actually give you a demonstration of how cluster-aware updating works. So, talking about automated update deployment, you've got a couple of methods. Who here allows their servers to just go out to Windows Update all on their own and automatically install updates? Okay, we've got a couple. Who here uses WSUS? Most of the room. Who here uses Configuration Manager? More. Who here is using Intune? Not so many, because Intune, not at the moment what you would think necessarily of an update product. Now, Windows Update, it's good, it delivers updates, and you can turn it on and you can leave it on. I do a training for DDLS on occasion, and I teach the Config Manager course there. And I always asked about this idea, who here has a test group for their computers where they deploy an update before they roll it out? So who here has a test group? Okay, that's cool. I had one student put up his hand and said, no, we don't test updates. I said, what do you mean you don't test updates? He said, we don't do it. We did a financial analysis and we worked out the number of administrator hours that were required to actually test updates versus the number of administrator hours that occurred for update rollback, that is where an update stuffed something up, was actually, we were spending many more man hours on testing updates than we ever did rolling them back. So I think that's living dangerously, but there's an economic rationalist's argument as to why you don't test updates. For the rest of us, though, we test updates. Why Intune is on that list is, as you'll hear later today in James Bannon and Andrew McMurray's session on Config Manager 2012 Service Pack 1, Intune is being tightly integrated into Configuration Manager, which means that if you've got branch offices that have got clients, or you've got remote clients that are one or two people out somewhere, or they're just on their laptop, you can actually fully manage their updates through Config Manager, but using Intune. So, with SUS, according to Microsoft's opt-in figures, and let's face it, most people do not opt in, there are over 1 million WSUS servers currently hitting Microsoft's update servers. So that is just servers that are at the top of the stack that are hitting WSUS, hitting Microsoft Update. From that information, Microsoft knows that those servers, that 1 million, each one has on average 60 clients. So there's more than 60 million clients, and that's a small number. I mean, no one knows what the difference between the opt-in rate and the actual rate is, but it's substantial. And between WSUS 3 SP1 and WSUS 3 SP2, Microsoft saw a doubling in the number of WSUS servers that were hitting Microsoft Update. Now, when Microsoft looked at doing WSUS 4, they obviously went and looked back at customer feedback. And the points that they decided to address in this release of WSUS were that customers often found it difficult to automate WSUS installation. And even though it was a role in Server 2008 R2, if you've ever tried to install WSUS on Server 2008 R2, unless you're connected to the internet, you can't do it. Why? Because there's actually an update, a special update that you needed to download and install beforehand. So if you were connected to the internet, that's fine. And most WSUS servers are connected to the internet, but there's a lot of them that are sitting on separate networks. Now, the other thing that people found difficult was WSUS had its own way of doing things. You went through it, had a very separate console, nothing was integrated with Server Manager. There was also a large number of manual steps. People had to go in regularly and run cleanup to get rid of old updates, to get rid of unapproved updates and so on, and that you had to jump down into WSUS util to do everything. Now, as you have no doubt heard this week, PowerShell is a lot more consistent in the way it does things, so one of the things has been to try and move from WSUS util across to PowerShell. There has also been increasing concerns about WSUS security. The recent attacks, such as Stuxnet and several other attacks, have involved the use of code signing certificates that were faked, Microsoft code signing certificates. So there has been a concern, and this has actually turned up in several science fiction novels, including Mark Rusinovich's novel, of someone compromising an update point and then using that to infect all of the clients that report to that update point. So one of the other things that they looked at doing was increasing the security of updates on the server. They They wanted to increase the PowerShell support for WSUS, and they wanted to make it easier to manage all of these bring-your-own-device clients and other clients where you had people who were very rarely coming into the office. Now, who here has clients that don't come into the office on a regular basis? Now, who here finds it really easy to manage updates for those people? Not one of you. Okay. So that's sort of where they're going with Intune and with SaaS and so on and so forth. So what's new? When you look at it, you think, not much. I've looked at, you look at the WSUS console and you go, okay, it doesn't seem to be all that different. Well, it is in certain ways. Is it revolutionary? No. Is it evolutionary? Yes. It now ships fully with Server 2012, which means you can install it without actually requiring an internet connection. You just saw me install it there on a server core machine. That's new. You couldn't install WSUS previously on a server core machine. That means, and the benefit of server core, fewer reboots, fewer patches that apply to that server. Why? Because it doesn't have Internet Explorer and all of that other gooey foo-foo. And that's another reason why you've probably heard at this conference people saying, hey, do server core as your default install. Why? Because you need to manage it less. It looks after itself a lot better. So WSUS on server core can make a lot of sense. Your installation options are you can do it locally or you've just seen me do it remotely. You can also do it through a prepared VHD, should you so choose. You also have, so far only 12, but this is actually going to be improving soon, PowerShell commands. However, the PowerShell commands do most of what you need WSUS to do. It allows you to get a list of products that WSUS supports, set the updates for which WSUS should sync, run WSUS cleanup, and approve updates. It allows much simpler automation of basic WSUS tasks. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do a quick demo. Just give me a sec. Showing you how WSUS works with PowerShell. So we're just flicking it back to here, and we can see that on our server core machine, we now have a nice copy of WSUS. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to flip across to an already prepared WSUS server. Now, rather than, I'll quickly just go into the console. So tool, from the tools menu here, WSUS. The tools menu is your favorite menu in Server Manager. And of course, you know to pin things to your taskbar if you use them regularly. That way you don't have to worry about figuring out where you've got to click to get your start menu up. So here's WSUS, as I said, looks pretty much the same. We open up PowerShell ISE, Integrated Scripting Environment. And to locate the WSUS-related commands, you can just, in this search area, just type WSUS. So here we've got a bunch of commands. We've got these commands, add WSUS computer approve, deny, blah, blah, all of this. So let's look at get WSUS update. And I can click show details here. Now I can then go and say, okay, give me all of the critical updates. And then I can just run that from here. That pumps that across there. That goes off and talks to the WSUS server. And that will go and generate a list of all of the critical updates that are sitting in the queue of that WSUS server. As you can see, I've synced it, but I haven't done anything along the way of approvals. Now, you have other commands here. You also have approve update. So, approve update. So, you can go, if we go over here, and let's go back to our get WSUS update, where we had the critical. I'm going to copy that, paste it over here. And then I can go to approve update. Sorry. Now, target group name, as we know, the target group is all computers. So what I do is copy that there. Now, I just take that command there, copy it in. And then, oh, wait a sec. Action is install. And that's going to go through. It's going to approve all of those updates for installation. So even though that's something that you can do through automated rules in the WSUS console, suddenly you can go and do that easily within PowerShell. And if you can PowerShell it, you can automate that as an automated task. So you can have that run every so often. So when I go back now and run my get update classification critical, I'll go back in here. If I go into all updates here, I set my status to approved, and my status is any. What I see is that we've got all of these updates that are currently approved. So I'll just shut down this one because I don't want it syncing. Okay, so that's doing that. So what the enhanced security, the idea here is to make sure that if you've got Windows 8 clients and Windows Server 2012 clients, all updates will now have SHA-256 hashes so that these clients will be able to verify the integrity of the update before they are downloaded and applied. So it only works with Windows 8 and Server 2012, but the idea is going forward, attacks are going to get more sophisticated against updates. We're already seeing a large number of certificate servers being compromised that are already within our trust chains. So there was a government one in Southeast Asia compromised a couple of weeks ago, and then people were using that to sign Adobe certificates. And because it was in that trust chain, everybody thought, oh, look, publication by Adobe. Now, smart people aren't going to install the malware, but the idea that a digitally signed certificate correctly identifies malware is increasingly problematic. Now, just a question. Who here knows, on average, so 90% of exploits are publicly available after a certain number of days within an update's release. Who here thinks that that number is more than 20 days? Who here thinks that number is more than 10 days? Who thinks it's more than 5 days? That's about right. It's 6 days. 6 days within an update's release, exploit code is available if you know where to look for it for 90% of vulnerabilities addressed by updates. So that's something else to consider when you are planning your update deployment strategy. Now, who here is running WSUS on Server 2003? Okay, who's running it on Server 2008? Large number. And who's running it on Server 2008 R2? Okay, so most of you are running it there. You've got a choice to make when you are updating, because you've probably got a large number of approvals and a large number of updates sitting on your WSUS server. At some point, you do want to go to Server 2012. There is a very simple migration process that I'm going to run you through that allows you to go from Server 2008 to, or Server 2003, or Server 2008 R2 to WSUS 4. You can also perform a migration from a physical to a virtual, doesn't matter. And who here is actually using an SQL database as the backend for WSUS? Who here is just using the Windows internal database? And that's normal. Most people are using the Windows internal database. Now, the important thing is if you're going to do an upgrade, you have to be on WSUS 3.0 Service Pack 2. Is there anybody here who's not upgraded to Service Pack 2 on WSUS yet? Well, if you haven't, I'm sure you're not telling me. So make sure you've upgraded WSUS. Now, you cannot migrate when you want to change the source destination. Who here stores updates locally? Who here stores updates on Microsoft Update Service? Okay, I only got about 10 hands, so where are you storing your updates? Now, updates must be stored in the same location. They've either got to be on Microsoft Update or local when you're doing a migration. Now, the migration process is that you install the WSUS role on Server 2012, but you do not run the post-installation configuration wizard. You copy the update files across using whatever method you want to use. You then, and this is the trick, use SQL Server Management Studio to back up and recover the WSUS database. Whoops-a-daisy, what happened there? Oh, wrong button. So you need to install SQL Server Management Studio, which you can install as part of SQL Server Express. It's free. Once you've migrated the database across, you run a quick PowerShell command to change the server identity, and then you point clients at the new WSUS server. So that's the next demo I'm going to do, is performing a migration from WSUS 3.2 to WSUS 4. So the first step, is here's my WSUS 3.2 server running on Server 2008 R2. So we can see here we've got a number of updates that are, number of updates that have been approved. And we've got a number of computer groups. So we can see here we've got each state of Australia, Northern Territory, New South Wales, South Australia, Tasmania, and so on. So the first step I need to take is to connect to the local SQL instance. Now, that particular connection ID is listed in the end of my slides. But so you can use SQL Server Management Studios to connect to a Windows internal database. And you can see here that we have the SUSDB there. So all we need to do is go Tasks, Backup. Here we add a backup device. So we specify where we want to backup WSUS to. So let's say the temp directory and WSUS db.back. I'll call it db3.back. I click OK. I make sure it's a copy-only backup. I click OK. And that backup runs in the background. So 10, 20, 30, 40, and so on. The other thing I need to do is I need to copy across my files from here. So while that's backing up, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go onto this server and I'm going to install the WSUS role, because I haven't done that yet. Installation type, server selection, Windows Server Update Services, add features, next, next, next. And here I specify my path, and I'm going to go with my C:\WSUS. So I let that install in the background. So I can now go back while that's installing in the background, come into my WSUS 3 server, and I can see that the backup of that database has happened. Now the next thing I need to do is verify the location of my updates, and in here, they're in this WSUS directory here. So, when I have my new WSUS server where it's installing, and we just have to leave that for a minute because that doesn't necessarily happen all that quickly. While we're waiting for that, there's something I've always wanted to do in a large theatre. And you'll know exactly what you're meant to do in a second, but it does involve your participation. Mana, mana. Mana, mana. Mana, mana. That's a better way of sitting through a demo. Okay, so as we can see, that's starting to install. So that comes across. You wait until that's come across before you start copying your updates across. You then copy your database backup across. So once that's all happened, I've actually made it so that you can see that that's now completed. And in completing, that has created a little WSUS directory. Oops, no, it hasn't. It's doing the post-installation. Here it says post launch post-installation tasks. I allow that, and then that goes through and creates the directory. But what you don't do is you don't run that wizard that comes up. So we have to wait for that to complete. Have a look here. And we see that there's now a WSUS directory. Now, I've got a prepped earlier directory, which actually has a copy of that WSUS directory. So what I can do here is I can just select the contents of that. And rather than copying it across the network, I can just dump it here. So that's the next thing I've done. After I've done that, what I need to do is run SQL Server Management Studio and connect to the local instance. Now I need the connection string, which I've written down here, to connect to the local instance. And so now I'm connected to the local instance, but that's of course got its own database in place. So you can see there's susdb, and I need to replace that. So what I do is I run a new query. Now all of this code, it's very basic SQL code here. I'm just going to cut and paste this across. If Chris Branny was in the room, I'm now dropping a base. I'm sure he's not. So what happens now is if I come back here and do a refresh, you see that that database is gone. So once that database is gone, I restore the database that I've copied across from the WSUS 3.2 server. So I just select that. Run execute. Now, this will run, but it will throw a schema error. That's okay. That's actually to be expected. It will also update the database because originally it was running on one version of WSUS and it needs to run on the new version of WSUS. So that database, even with that small number of things, was about a gigabyte. So the next thing I need to do is I need to run a command prompt, an elevated command prompt. So it's CMD, oopsie-daisy. Change the update services directory, see to the tools directory. Now, this is one of those few times that I actually do need to run WSUS util. So I run that, and what that does is it links the content directory across. So that post-install process starts. It runs for a moment. Once it finishes, I need to run another script in PowerShell that will rename the WSUS server. Now, it's important once you've migrated across to go and change all of your policies so your clients are pointing at the new server. But this is a fairly efficient, easy way, and it only takes about 5 minutes for this to actually perform that migration of WSUS from one server to another. You can also use this process if you need to move WSUS from one server to another. Because a lot of organisations deployed WSUS, they've upgraded it, and then they've realised, hey, we've got it on this creaky old server, we need to move it somewhere else so that it works a little better. Okay, so that post-installation has worked. What I do here is I run this particular PowerShell update script. Now, Now, what this, as I said, this renames the server name in the database. So it goes through, fixes the database up. The final step to take is to again run wsusutil and then just do the post-install configuration. And what this does is it generates a new encryption key for wsus. So once this is all done, post-install starting, wait for that to go. What we can do then is fire up the wsus console. And if everything's worked correctly, what we'll do is we'll see all of those groups and all of those approvals have actually moved across to the new server. Unfortunately, usually, and one of my bosses is sitting in the audience here, I usually do this as video, which means I cut out any of the uncomfortable waits. Unfortunately, I'm doing this live, which means that there are a couple of uncomfortable waits, and I'm sure that you don't want to sing the Mana Mana song again. So go back to Server Manager, go Tools, Windows Server Update Services. Now, the first time you launch it, it will give you that, hey, run the post-installation configuration wizard, please. But we don't need to do that because we already have the wsus configuration. So here, if we go down to our computers, what we'll see under all computers is we'll see that our computer groups have migrated across. And if we go to updates, we can see if we go to all updates and look at our approved updates and updates with any status, what we will find is that we have all of those updates that we had on the original server. So that's migrating from wsus 3.2 across to wsus 4. So, wsus secrets, things that people forget about wsus. One wsus server can handle up to 25,000 clients. That's Microsoft's stat. I've never seen anybody actually do it. It's probably quite theoretical because there's very few people that have got 25,000 clients as a site. You can import updates that may not have been published through Microsoft Update but are available on the Microsoft Update catalog by right-clicking, going Import Update. That'll take you to the Microsoft catalog website. That's where you can get things like cumulative updates for SQL Server and things like that, something that you might not normally get through Windows updates. You can use wsus with branch cache and bits if you've got a Windows 7 or higher infrastructure, which means that you don't need to deploy wsus out of a branch office. What happens if you use branch cache and bits and you have clients running those bits and pieces of software is that they all cache the updates and they share them together. So they still get the approvals from your head office, but rather than, you know, having 50 clients out at a site and then having to put a wsus server out there, no, you don't actually need to do that. You just turn branch cache on for everything and then they peer cache all of the updates. Some people forget the ability to use replica mode. Who here uses replica mode in their organisation? Okay, so there's only about 10 of you. So the way wsus works is you can have multiple tiers of wsus server. If you're using replica mode, this wsus server down here takes all of its approvals from the wsus server up here. So that minimises the amount of approvals you have to do. You approve something once, it's approved throughout your organisation. Computers can be members of multiple wsus groups, although you do not do this through group policy. You have to manually add them to more than one group. Updates do not need to be stored on wsus server, as you know. Some of them can be stored on Microsoft updates. And downstream servers can be different update configurations in terms of storage from upstream servers. So you might have a server in Brisbane that's downloading updates. You might have a server in Melbourne that's getting all of its approvals from Brisbane, but it's allowing clients to download updates from the internet. So update testing, the application compatibility toolkit has a software function that allows you to test an update against certain applications before you deploy them. It's a lot of work, but you can do it that way. It's very good for service packs. Probably not something you would consider doing necessarily for updates. Does anybody here use Application Compatibility Toolkit to test updates? No. Who here knew that you could do that? Who here didn't know that? There you go, you've learned something. When you are setting up testing groups, look for canaries. A canary is someone in your organisation that makes a lot of noise. Okay, so find those annoying people that are always willing ringing the help desk and deploy updates to them first. The reason being, they're the people who are going to tell you very quickly if something's wrong. That's why you use canary groups. You don't have that guy who basically, you know, what's his name with the red stapler in Office Space. You wouldn't deploy an update to him because he wouldn't tell you if it screwed up his machine. He'd be kind of like, oh no, they've done it again. They put me in the basement. So go for someone who's a bit of a whinger, because whingers give really good feedback. And remember the 6-day rule. Deploy an update within 6 days. Okay, cluster-aware updating. Second part of this talk. What some of you, I'm sure, are here to hear. Who here runs clusters? Cool. Who here loves updating clusters? Who here would rather go to the dentist than update a cluster? Okay, so there you go. Who here would rather have a tetanus shot than update a cluster? A few less. Okay, so cluster-aware updating is a single-click way of updating clusters. You run a single PowerShell commandlet, you run a single task from a GUI. It then does what's called an updating run. It can be used with physical clusters, it can be used with virtual machine clusters. Obviously, when I'm going to demonstrate it here, we're going to be using virtual machine clusters. What it does is it interacts with your local update agent to figure out what updates are applicable on each node. So it interacts. It's like when you, if you've got a Config Manager client out there, it is possible to use this with Config Manager. Is anybody, so for those of you who are using cluster updating, who's using the Config Manager client on their cluster nodes? Only a few, okay. You can, most of you probably, who's turned off updating on their cluster nodes entirely? Okay, so a couple. The way it works is it scans, it downloads and installs. It restarts nodes if that's necessary, but what it does is it redistributes, it performs a graceful switch of roles across to the other nodes in the cluster so that it puts a cluster in maintenance mode automatically. It installs the update, it makes sure the roles are there. It then restarts that node, brings it up, rolls across, then it'll go and patch that node automatically. It repeats for all cluster nodes. So it does the whole thing. So here's just a quick idea. So it looks, it says, okay, these are relevant to node one. Drain the node, get rid of all of the traffic to that node, move all of the workloads off that node. Then go and update the node, bring the node back up, and then do other nodes while filing back traffic. Cluster update is a runbook automation. It's a way of automating things. It integrates with your existing update solution. It doesn't replace it. Okay, so it integrates with WSUS, it integrates with Config Manager, it integrates with Intune if you are using Intune on a cluster, although that's a bit hardcore for me. It integrates if you're just using Windows Update, although I'm pretty sure no one here is using Windows Update. And that's the idea. You've got to understand it's a method of automating the process of updates, but it's a method that makes it a lot simpler to apply updates to clusters. And it's designed to leave the cluster with the same workloads as it had at the start. So if you had a particular, say, a SQL server and the primary node was on node one, you would update the cluster. When everything has gone down and come back up again, node one will be the primary node. That's where the SQL workload will be. It's not reinventing server patching, okay? So it fits in with everything that you're already doing to update your servers in your environment. You're not adding something new. This is just new functionality that exists for Server 2012. Now, it allows you to apply generally released updates from Microsoft. They're the ones that would normally come down. It also allows you to apply hotfixes. And the way that you do hotfixes is you essentially just put them on a file share, you copy a special XML file that I'll talk about in a minute to that file share, And then what it does is the cluster goes and scans the file share and goes, okay, all of the these relevant, yes, I will go and now apply these to the cluster. So you don't have to necessarily do any sort of funky importing or anything like that. It's just a matter of extracting any QFEs, any hotfixes to the file share and then running the process. It's simple, customizable, and any software, including things like device drivers, if you set up the XML correctly, can be installed off the file share. So any updates that are, for example, not a Microsoft update, it works with updates from other products as well. So installing and launching, it can also integrate with failover clustering, and I'll talk about how that works in a second. So what I'm going to do here is I am going to quickly build a cluster and then I am going to install cluster aware updating. So who here has built a Server 2012 cluster? Okay, so there's one or two people here already who have done this. So what I'm going to use is I'm going to use my poor old domain controller as the shared storage device, which, you know, not necessarily recommended on how you would do it in the real world. So what I'm going to do here is going to create a new iSCSI virtual disk. Give it a name. I'll call it Nyan Cluster, Nyan iSCSI, just so you remember the name. I'm going to give it just 10 gig. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a new iSCSI target. And one of my favorite little bits of functionality in Server 2012 is how simple the configuration of iSCSI targets has become. So, Nyan target. And where it gets really simple is when you add the IQNs of other servers. So in this case, all I do is I search Active Directory, and I've got cluster A, and that's my first cluster node. And I go OK, and that automatically adds it, so there's no typing of IP addresses, no looking anything up. I just need to know the Active Directory name. And now I just find cluster B, because that's going to be my other node. And I add that there. And that's all I need to do to configure that target. I can configure authentication if I want, and I create that there. That goes through, it creates the disks, it assigns all of the security, and that's all it needs to do that. So the next thing I need to do is I need to jump over to cluster A. So first thing I need to do here is run the iSCSI initiator, turn on the service. That service is now on, so 2K12DC, I do a quick connect there, it finds the configured target, I just go volumes and devices, auto-configure, and that connects to that shared storage. So that shared storage on cluster node A, jump onto cluster node B, do the same thing, so I run my iSCSI initiator, turn it on, specify my target, which is my Windows Server 2012 domain controller. Get my volumes, auto-configure, so I've got my shared storage. So now I can go from here, I can go into computer management. What I can do then is I can connect that disk, that shared storage, through disk management, disk management here. So we can see that it's connecting to VDS. Okay, so there, put it online, initialize the disk. Now that it's initialized, I can go and create a volume on it. So now that that's done, now I've got my shared volume, what I'm going to do is over here on local server, I'm going to add the other node to this server, all servers. So I've got cluster B, I'll add server cluster A. And what I'm going to do is install failover clustering on both these servers. So while that's connecting there, I go add roles and features. Next, 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 next. Failover clustering, add features, next, install. That goes on and does that. Now I can close the wizard without interrupting, so I'll let that install on this node. And I'll jump back here and I'll do a remote install of failover clustering on this node. So again, next, 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 sorry, next. Failover clustering, add features, next, install. Okay, so now what we've got is we've got two nodes on which the failover clustering role is installed. I've connected the shared storage to both of them. Next thing I am going to do when that installs is I'm going to quickly create a failover cluster, and then I'm going to enable cluster aware updating there. So that's succeeded. So tools, I can then go failover clustering manager. That launches the failover clustering manager. Now, I'm not going to do all of the validations because I don't need the cluster supported by Microsoft when it's not going to exist after the end of this session. So it fires up the console here. So this is the failover cluster manager. It doesn't look all that different from how it looked in Server 2008. So create cluster. Select servers, so again we just browse and we can browse through Active Directory. So cluster A, cluster B, okay. Verifies, next. No, I do not want to validate the cluster. Give the cluster a name, give it an IP address. So let's say 1, 3, 4. Click Next. It validates those settings. It gives me a summary, and now it goes through and actually configures that failover cluster. So you can see that setting up a failover cluster is very quick and very simple in Server 2012. The idea of putting that iSCSI functionality in is so that it becomes a lot easier to deploy clusters in your environment. So there's been a whole lot of talk in the last few days about storage and the improvements in storage. Part of this is, okay, in some situations, of course, you need dedicated SAN hardware. In some situations, maybe not. Maybe you can configure a failover cluster just using what you've got, just a bunch of disks. Okay, so here we've finished that, and we can come back in, look at it, at the cluster. So we can see nyan cluster.autechid.internal, and we can see here that we've got shared storage for the cluster. So that's there. Now, once we've done that, we can go cluster aware updating. So the first thing I need to do here is connect to nyan cluster, which is the cluster I just created. And then I can configure cluster aware updating. So I'll do it here and then I'll explain what I've done in a minute with slides. So configure cluster aware updating options. So the first options here you had is, do I want to install the cluster aware updating role on the server? And I'll explain why you might want to do that in a minute. So that's the first question. You don't have to install the role to use cluster aware updating, but you do if you're going to be triggering the updates from the server that is part of a cluster. The next thing is, how often do I want self-updating? So the idea with self-updating is that according to a schedule, and again, you don't have to use it this way, it will go out at a certain point in time and automate the update process, because eventually the idea is that you have enough faith in this process that you will allow the process to go and automatically update your clusters without requiring your direct intervention. Will you do it on your super, super, super servers? No. Will you do it on some of those clustered workloads that you are perhaps a little less concerned by? Quite possibly. Here you configure advanced options, and this is how long to stop if it doesn't work, how long to throw a warning, how often you try to install the updates, do you require all nodes to be back available, what's your reboot timeout, is there an update script, a post or a pre-update script. Here, you select your plugin. Are you using Windows Update or are you using the Microsoft Hotfix plugin? If you are using Configuration Manager, you would select the Configuration Manager plugin. All that does, that plugin says, okay, this is the way I'm getting updated, this is how I find what updates apply to this particular node. And as I said before, you don't need to have different software. You can have different software on each node. So it might be that 5 updates apply to this node, 3 updates apply to that node. Cluster aware updating has no problem with that and will do that properly. So it's not that you have to have the same updates on each node. So your additional options is, do you want to have recommended updates treated the same way as important updates? I've said yes. Then you go apply, and what it does is it installs the cluster aware updating service on the nodes of that cluster. So that takes probably about a minute or two to happen. So while that's doing that, I will jump back to the slides. Oh, well, actually, it just... got success. So that succeeded. Okay, so you've got two nodes. You've got self-updating mode and remote updating mode. It depends how you want to trigger it. Self-updating mode, you need to install that role locally, and that role becomes highly available. So you trigger updating on one node. It'll take down the other node first. It'll bring the other node back up. It'll move the self-updating role over to that node and then let that manage this node coming down and this node coming up. And it works, of course, if you've got all of the nodes that are supported by Server 2012. You've also got remote updating mode. Remote updating mode means you've got a server somewhere else that you're triggering this from. And I'll show you a remote update in a demo in a minute. So the advantage of self-updating mode is it requires no administrator attention. You can set it up to happen automatically. The role itself is highly available. It runs on a clustered nodes. It installs your updates according to a schedule, and it's for what's called cluster-in-a-box appliances. So if you've got a cluster out at a branch office, say a Hyper-V cluster, or you've got a two-node Hyper-V cluster, you can go and do it out there. That's fine. And this is fully compatible with that Hyper-V-in-a-box product that was just released. Self-updating internals, it adds the role, and it's like any other clustered workload, and it's not mutually exclusive with on-demand. So you can have that role sitting there, and then you can manually still go out and install updates. So just choosing to use that particular role does not stop you from actually using normally just deploying an update. However, keep in mind that if you manually install an update, it's quite possible that you might conflict with something and cause something wonderful and special to happen. Who has ever had something wonderful and special happen when they've applied an update to a cluster? Yeah, a few of you. By wonderful and special, I mean basically a certain amount of excrement has hit a certain calling device. Configured but not on hold functionality. What you can do is you can pause it. So you can turn it on, and you can put it on pause. So even if there's a scheduled update run going on, you can say, no, okay, look, I want to pause because I've got a maintenance cycle going on, or I've got this going on, I've got that going on. So you can pause it. You can turn it on, you can leave it on, pause it when you need to. Remote updating mode means that you're running it from another server. So the way I'm going to do it in a minute is I've got another cluster that I've got running. I'm going to log onto the domain controller. I'm going to show you the workload, which in this case is a clustered SQL instance. I'm going to then apply the update from the domain controller and allow that to go through. It's user-initiated. It gives you a lot more information when you actually do it. It also allows you to very quickly do this if you're updating clusters that have got server core systems on them. So if with hot fixes, all you need to do is put them on a file share and do your configuration XML file, which is actually located in the directory, the PowerShell directory that has the module in it. They're easy and very simple, but you will not need to modify this unless you've got some updates from a particularly unusual update partner. Anything Microsoft does is going to be fine. Now, there's also a bunch of PowerShell commandlets that allows you to manage this through PowerShell, but we're going to do it all through the GUI. You can also extend it to work with your patch solution. So I talked about the Config Manager plugin. If you're who's using something that's not a Microsoft patch solution? Okay, so you can. The API is apparently all public, and it's very easy to read. So you can either write it yourself or get your vendor, and it's most likely that your vendor will provide a plugin that allows you to use this functionality with that. But it's not particularly complicated. So plugin, you get, register, unregister. So you can do it all through PowerShell. And what it does is it looks for a specific file type and looks for when a notification occurs. Okay, so what I'll do now is I'll do the cluster aware updating demo, where I'm going to update a clustered workload. So here we are on, just close Server Manager there, on my domain controller. So I've got SQL Server Management Studio. I'm connecting to SQL 2012 cluster. And you can see here I've got AdventureWorks and AU TechEd as databases. So I can verify that this all works by running a query against that database. For example, I can run a select aster from humanresources.department. So run that, verify that it all works. And we get a response to that. Okay, so we come in here. We run Server Manager. Now, if you install the failover clustering RSAT tools, you can remotely manage cluster-aware updating. So I run the cluster-aware updating console remotely. It says what cluster you want to connect to. I've said my 2K12 cluster. So it goes, okay, what's going on there? We haven't run any updates there. So what I do here is I can go preview updates for the cluster. Now what it does when I press that button is it goes and it hits the cluster nodes. It says, how are you being updated? These things are going through Windows Update. So that now triggers a Windows Update check. And this is why this is going to take a little bit of time, because I need to verify that these can actually see Windows Update. This takes a moment to do. But it goes out and it checks Windows Update. Or if you've got Configuration Manager installed, it goes out and does a check with Configuration Manager to see if there's any updates that actually need to be applied. So we wait a little while for that to happen, but while it's doing that, this is the bit I dislike about doing this demo, because obviously I've got to show you it live. Now, the fun thing was, if it wasn't for the fact that there was an update just published 2 days ago, I wouldn't have been able to do this, because I'm running Server 2012 RTM. And there have been there's been several cumulative updates published for SQL Server. But you can see here, yes, we've found updates for Server 2012. So that's great. And I can get a whole lot of reporting functionality out of that. So what I can do is go apply updates to this cluster. I get my wizard. So here I've got my default options. And my default options, as I said, how long do I want to stop after? How many retries do I want to do in each node? The main thing here is to make sure that you've got the right plugin selected. Do I want to treat recommended updates? So you can see this is all the same. And now I click update. It says cluster updating has started. And what we're seeing here is does another check. We can see the plugin scan is going, downloading updates, so it's gone out to Microsoft Updates. So we've got Cluster Node 1 and Cluster Node 2. So on Cluster Node 1, it's downloading updates, and Cluster Node 2, it's downloading updates, and we're getting a progress bar on this. So this is starting to download the update. Now, luckily, it's only one update in this case. If you've got it integrated with WSUS, you would use exactly the same plugin here, because all WSUS does is piggybacks on top of Windows Update. So it looks at which node's got it first, and in this case, it said, right, Cluster 2, I'm going to put you in maintenance mode. Cluster 2's put in maintenance node. Any workloads on maintenance on that cluster node have now gone across to node 1. It's installing that update on node 2. The installation has occurred. You can see that there's now a computer restart being triggered. So that will take obviously a moment to do, but when that computer restarts, it's going to bring obviously that node up. Cluster node 1's just waiting, it's accepting traffic, so if I jump back across here while that's doing that, and I go to SQL Server Management Studio, this is a bit risky, but let's try it anyway, execute that query, I get a response. So we're still waiting for that computer to restart. Okay, how about you do the manamana and I'll do the other bit. 3, 2, 1. What else are you going to do when you're waiting for it? So this is coming up. So I can even go back, because, you know, nervous when you're doing this sort of thing, and actually check. So it's cluster 2 that's restarting. And of course, what you want to see is a black screen. But that's coming back. Okay, so cluster 2. It's got, not getting a report there, but it says it's coming up. Okay, so we jump back here. Again, with updates, it's got SQL on it, so it might be taking a little while to do it, but this worked yesterday and it worked this morning. So node will come up. So what I will do is I will just do my summary, and then I'll come quickly back to that as it jumps across to the other node. So the summary. See, Cluster Aware Updating ships in Windows Server 2012. It supports provides you with a good report, and it provides you with a rich set of PowerShell commands. It's got the two modes. It's got self-updating and remote updating. It's also extensible. It allows you to put your own plugins into the service. For more information, all you need to do is download the slides, and that's got actually your input of migrating with us. It's also got a Cluster Aware Updating, Understanding and Troubleshooting Guide, a scenario overview to provide you with more information about it, and information on the PowerShell. It's also worth checking out that particular blog on getting started with Cluster Aware Updating, and of course this particular session will be covered, provided for in the videos later on. Okay, you all know to fill out an evaluation and you can win this wonderful mouse. It's actually very nice to get evaluations, so if you could do that, that'd be great. Now, what we see back here is that we've actually restarted the computer. It's doing now a new scan for updates. So it says, I've done a restart. Are there any more updates that actually apply to me? Once it's done that scan, it will then start updating Cluster Node 2. So while we sit and watch that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, thank you very much for your attention. No, it doesn't do anything else but 2012. So that you can't get it working on anything else but 2012. Is it SCOM integrated? Yes. So Operations Manager 2012, when Service Pack 1 releases, which will be in the next 90 days, you will see that it will be fully integrated into the Server 2012 appropriate management packs. And you can see there now it's doing it installing on Cluster 1. But thanks. Yes, you could get it off my homepage. Yep.